Welcome to MCC Detroit, on the web at mccdetroit.org. And now, here's this week's message.
Our first reading for today is from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 19. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven, and he saw angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood God, and he heard, "I am the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely God is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." But he was also afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named the place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz.
The second reading this morning is from Psalm 139, 1 through 14. O God, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, God. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it.
We love you, we praise you, and we thank you again for the opportunity we have to open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us. Speak to us in deep ways so that we know it's your voice and not our own. Or the voices of those who want to discourage us, because your way is pure and true and encouraging, and it is light. We love you, dear God, and say thank you again for this sanctuary, this place of safety you've brought us into this morning. It's in your blessed name we pray. Amen. So again, I don't know if you've had trouble visioning for yourself. When I say, what does your vision look like? What do I mean by that? And I would like to begin with the story we listened to this morning with our scripture about Jacob. But to really understand what was read about this Jacob's ladder, and it's really kind of this odd scene that's happening, to really understand the gravity of what this vision really was, you need to go back one chapter to understand what preceded this vision. And what happened was Jacob and his mother Rebekah, you may remember that name from a couple weeks ago when I preached. I talked about Isaac and Rebekah, and Rebekah was presented with the question, will you go with this man, will you go with this servant to leave your home, to leave all that you know, to go to a land to marry a man you don't know? And we talked about how amazing that was, because back in those days, women really weren't afforded that question. But Rebekah was. And we believe that she was is because, and the reason why we say we believe that she said yes is because she herself could see her own vision. There was something about this invitation, about going with this individual, that's my future. That's my destiny. And this is where I need to go. So she packed up and followed the servant to marry her husband, her future husband, Isaac. They had two twin boys. The oldest was named Esau, the younger one, Jacob. Now, although they were twins, they were as far apart as they could be in terms of their personalities. Esau was that manly man, rugged, very hairy, loved the outdoors. He was, the apple didn't fall far from the tree when it came to his father. His father adored Esau, because he would just get out there and he would hunt and kill and just do all types of things. Jacob was a little softer, a little more gentle, and he loved to stay close to his mother. And Jacob was the apple of his mother's eye. And so whatever his mother Rebekah said, Jacob did. Rebekah, remember, she had a vision. She kept that vision of her own future, but not just for her own future, but her own lineage. It was the same vision that was given to her husband, Isaac, was also given to his father, Abraham. Because Abraham was also visited by an angel and said, you, Abraham, will be given descendants. As many as the stars are in the sky, those will be your descendants. And that story was told. And remember, it was a tremendously big deal, because at that time, Abraham was old, his wife Sarah was old, and they had no children. So how are they going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky? But God's promise came to pass. Rebekah knew this. Rebekah taught, I'm sure, both of her sons about this. And I would imagine that even Rebekah spent even some time with her older son Esau trying to instill this message of who you are and who your legacy is to become. Why? Because Esau was the oldest of the two. And by birthright and by tradition, Esau should have had all of everything that belonged to his parents, particularly his father. But Esau's vision was very short-sighted. If you read further in Scripture, you will read that Esau was a man for the moment. When he saw something he wanted, he went and got it. Very much like Solomon, Samuel. Very much like Samuel. I'm still getting my S's messed up. The guy with the strength. Samson, the guy with the strength. Yes, he had to go back to the Disney movie. I could see him. I could see him pushing, but I couldn't call his name. Samson, the guy with the big strength. And Samson was also very much like Esau was very much in the moment, but particularly he had an eye for the ladies. And he would go after women who were not part of their tribe, women who had no heart for God, didn't understand or recognize who their God was. And I would bet that Rebekah tried to let her son know, son, don't go with those women, because those women are not a part of your future. God has promised this family something fantastic, and we want to be faithful to our God. But we kind of get the implication that even Isaac didn't discourage his son Esau so much, because he was always attaboy. So Rebekah focused her attention to her younger, the one who would listen to his mother, the one who obeyed. And as it came time for Isaac to close his eyes for the last time, and to go with the ancestors, Rebekah had a dilemma. She recognized that my son Esau is going to take this family in a different direction if he receives the birthright and the blessing. I must intervene. And she felt in her heart that she was doing the right thing. And so many people, they would read and they say, oh, she's a schemer. Jacob is a liar. And the two of them got together and they concocted this plan to deceive Isaac, to pretend that one twin brother was the other. And they went in and Jacob went in and took Esau's birthright and blessing. By the time Esau recognized this, he sobbed and said, Father, isn't there anything left for me? But according to the Israeli law, the Jewish law, that once that birthright was given out, it was given. Jacob had both the birthright and the blessing. Esau was so upset that he vowed he was going to kill his brother. And so quickly, Rebekah heard her son and said, son, pack up your stuff. You must leave this land today. I want you not to stay around here. I also want you to go to a land far away to find people who have a heart for God and find a mate for you among those women. That's what Jacob did. And that's where we pick up. And that is the backstory to the story of Jacob's ladder. Imagine if you were in his shoes. Jacob had just lost it all. He lost his mother, he lost his father, he lost his brother, he lost his land. And all he really had were instructions from his mother to go to a particular land to find people who were just like them in terms of had a heart for God. But he also had this promise. He also had this blessing. He also had this vision that was given to Abraham and Isaac, and now Jacob falls asleep, and he has this vision of this ladder. And to kind of interpret what this actually meant was, this was Jacob being brought into the fold, Jacob being brought into the promise, Jacob being now treated like the elder son who received all of God's bountiful blessing. And as he's hearing these words that was given to Abraham and then Isaac, now is being passed on to Jacob, that Jacob, your descendants will be as numerous as the dust on the ground. In other words, so many descendants, they won't be able to be counted. This is the promise that I'm giving to you. So as you are out and as you move forward, remember my promise. I won't leave you. And I will accomplish everything I'm telling you this day. It shall happen. Jacob's vision. Pretty powerful. A pretty powerful story. And so, going back to the question I posed to each and every one of you, what is your vision? What is God speaking to you? And I don't imagine that any of you had such a tremendous vision like Jacob did of this ladder of these angels ascending and descending, that you almost saw the entrance to heaven. But what I would imagine is that God has spoken or whispered to your heart, this is the plan that I have for you. This is the direction that I want you to go. These are the people that I want you to be around who will give you great influence. So question number one, do we hear that voice of God? And question number two, are we wise enough to get out of God's way to allow God's purpose to manifest itself? You see, the power of vision is this. Visions are given to us to get us through the storms of life. Because as we move forward and we can't see the pathway forward, we don't know who we're going to grow and to become, or even our next step for tomorrow. There could be a storm waiting for us around the corner. Whatever that storm can be, and I'm sure if I asked each and every one of you, you would be able to tell me about your storm that may be brewing in your life even now. But the reason why we're given a vision today is that when we can't see because there's a big dark cloud in front of us and the lightning and the flashing is happening and we're thinking all is lost, this is the end of my road. I shall not travel any further. It's my time to close my eyes and go with the ancestors because clearly there's no more future for me. We're given vision to say, God, although I see nothing but a big wall of storm cloud, I know that you have me by my right hand and we're going to walk through it. Because there's a promise for me on the other side. And can I trust you enough not to try to run and dart and get out of the way, but to say, I know my God has me. I know my God is with me. You've heard stories of individuals who've had the calling to preach. God spoke to their hearts as youngsters. I'm calling you to be a deliverer of my word. And then they hear that vision. They hear that voice and like, not me, not I, not this one, and not today. And they may hightail it and go in the other direction, running from the vision that God has told them. You've heard stories like that. I've actually heard a story from one of my professors in California. She wrote a fantastic book called Saved from Silence, Women Finding Their Voices in Ministry and in Preaching. And because, again, when she heard that call that I'm calling you to preach, she grew up in a very fundamentalist household where women were barely allowed to talk in the household. And God, you're calling me to get behind a pulpit to preach? How is that? Okay, clearly that's not from God. Because that's impossible. That's impossible. But in the book, she talked about how God kneaded her heart like the baker kneads the dough for that loaf of bread, that God continued to work with her and open doors of opportunities that she never thought was possible. It all didn't happen all at once, but step by step by step. She was like, wow, is this true? And then she walked through that door. Wow, is that true? And she walked through that door. And she kept walking through doors of opportunities that continued to be open to her until she realized and until she arrived at the vision that was fulfilled, that God had indeed called her, this young girl in this fundamental household, to become a preacher. And not just a preacher, to go off to seminary and to become a preaching professor. That is what God can and will do. But preacher, I hear what you're saying to me this morning. And I do talk with God, but God doesn't talk to me that way. I've not heard any type of fantastic vision for my life. All I've heard from God is to get up, rise, shine, and give God the glory, and that's about it. But in terms of my future and what's next and my profession or even relationships, I wish God would have said a couple of things to me about relationships. I pray that God would have done that, but God didn't. So what you're saying to me sounds nice and good and fluffy, but that's not the relationship or the communication I have with God. So then I want to remind you of the second passage that was read in Scripture today from Psalms 139, which basically talks about that God knew us in our mother's womb and had knitted us together. But if you continued on with that passage, it just simply didn't talk about that God just simply knew us before we were birthed. That God continues to know us, God continues to guide us, and God continues to bring us to the place that God has purposed for each and every one of us. That is true. That is true. In other words, that even though you may not have heard what God has said to you, God has a plan. And God really does ask each and every one of us to silence our heart so we can hear what that plan is. But God, do you know my gender? Do you know my race? Do you know my age? And you can come up with all types of excuses. Do you know my bank account? Why what you're telling me, or even trying to get to this place of even hearing, that's just impossible. I have too much on my plate and too many responsibilities to even get to that place of listening. But I want to encourage us to take the path of Jacob and not Esau. Esau was a person who was told, I'm sure, by his parent what was in store for him. But Esau was very short-sighted. He saw for the moment. He saw for today. He couldn't grow beyond that. Even though other voices told him, he made the choice. And although we read the story like, you know, Jacob and Rebecca schemed against Isaac, Esau was really to blame. That birthright and that blessing, those both belonged to him. They were his. All he had to do was follow the path that his parents had laid out for him and what his God said to him, but he couldn't hear God and he couldn't hear his parents. All he heard was his own desire. That's what motivated him. So God, in God's wisdom, said, Not this one, but this one. God can do that. When someone is supposed to be in front of you, and they're the one to get the promotion, or they're the ones to get the blessing, or they're the ones to receive this, God knows all things, and if you're in the back of the line, that these people can be moved out of the way so you can progress. It's like, how did I get here? So we can be like an Esau and be short-sighted, or we can be like a Jacob and listen to the mother and see the vision and receive the blessing and receive the promise. And if you know anything about the story of Jacob, and we're going to be talking about Jacob next week as well in the sermon, all that God said to Jacob at this point at the ladder came to pass. All of it. And God didn't leave nor forsake him, although Jacob had many walls of storm clouds that he needed to pass through. He did it, and he did it successfully because he clinged to his God. God had him by his own right hand, and God led him to where he needed to be. So here we are as a church. We're getting ready to look for a new building. And let me say this. Although this church is moving, not everyone is going to go with us. I'm going to say that again. Although this church is moving, not everyone is going to go with us. Not because I don't want people to go with us. I want everyone here to go with us. But I also recognize that the vision that I feel God has given me for this community, that we really are stepping into our greatness, not just for our own sake, but for the people who walk in, who are searching for this place of safety, of sanctuary, that is diverse, that is unlike anything else that they've been into. That's the vision that I really believe God is growing us into. And like I said, I wish everyone would go with us, but I also recognize that some people, that's not your vision. That's not your vision. And this is what I would challenge you, that if that's not your vision, because like, no, you know, really, I like smaller churches. I like the family size church. Amen. Amen. And I support you. But if you get to a place where, again, it's a little contentious, and you're like, I don't want, you know, it doesn't feel quite, you're feeling kind of angry, or you're feeling, you know, at odds. I would then ask, where's your vision? Where's your sight? What is God showing you? Because the other thing that we're creating here is that not just Reverend Deb and Reverend Roland are the sole leaders of this church. We see everyone getting involved. We see that God is using each and every one of you to speak to and through you to create a wonderful sanctuary of safety. I can't see that. That's not me. I can't go there. It would break my heart. But again, I don't twist anyone's arm to stay or to go. But what my hope and my prayer is that as you are looking at your own vision for your own individual life, you can also expand it to see, well, God, what are you doing in the life of this church? The place I have parked, the place I put my membership, the place that I support financially, the place I'm making an investment in. What are you doing here? And how is it that you're using me? What is my vision? What are you speaking to me? And if you're at a place where you can't hear God, I encourage you to simply listen, to get quiet in your heart and simply listen. This is my prayer, and this is my hope for each and every one of us individually as well as collectively, that God is indeed taking us to a place, and although right now, I don't think we're at a storm cloud, but it's overcast. Because we don't know where we're going. It's overcast for MCC Detroit. But I believe God has us by our right hand, and God is going to continue to lead us to the place and open those doors of opportunity. Why? Because I'm not the only one who has that vision. I've talked to you. Many of you have that same vision as well. And that's how I know I'm not crazy. It's because I'm listening to you as well. And you also reflect back to me, I got that same vision. Amen. It must be God. It must be God. So I'm not going to listen to naysayers. I'm not going to listen to the people who don't see what I can become, how I can grow. I'm going to receive the encouragement of the living God to say, God, hold my hand, help me in my unbelief, and continue to walk with me as I journey forward. In the name of Jesus, amen.